buckled up. Here we go.
This is Felger and Mass.
Yeah, Rex Ryan here.
I hate guests.
Yep.
There's no reason to touch them.
Keep it in your pants.
Why would you do that?
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
David Backes has been suspended 3 games from the Bruins for a high hit against the Red Wings last night, which I saw and did not think it was that bad.
He deserved it, if you ask me.
Really?
Yep. 3 games is a bit much.
So my only question, I was just watching the video too.
Can I see it again?
I'm only about 2/3 of the way through the video. One of the predominant things they're using here is that the puck is already off of, who is it, Franzen?
Franz Nielsen.
The puck's well off his stick, and Backes goes in late and then hits him up high. So what I wondered, though, was about Backes's history, whether or not he has a history of it. Because to me, I couldn't find any history of dirty play on Backes. What I remember he got drilled by Brent Seabrook of the Blackhawks when you were in the playoffs when he was with the Blues. Do you remember that? That's the only thing I found.
How do you?
Oh, my God, he was destroyed. It was a brutal hit. Brutal hit. That's the only thing I found. I couldn't find anything where Backes injured anyone.
So
I thought this was late and it was high.
Okay. He fought last night. You know, they sent someone out to fight him, and he took the fight, took his beating. In real time, it didn't feel that bad to me, but I guess the league disagrees. Want to hear the video? And this is the best thing the NHL does. Like, the best thing they do. They give you the video, they give you the evidence, they give you the rationale, they give you the history, they give you everything, and they tell you why they suspend someone. The NFL could really... I've always thought the NFL did this. They could just be... It'd be such a great thing for the NFL because we'd eat it up, you know, every headshot, every personal foul. Just come out and explain it to video. And, you know, I think they'd make money, sponsor it, like make some money off of it, like you like to do. But anyway, who is this, Jimmy? Is it Stefan? It's not Stefan Quintal. Who does it now?
I'm not sure who the voice is.
Is it Shanahan's kid? Is it Burke's kid? Someone who's ever at the NHL Office of Discipline or whatever. This is the video describing the suspension of David Backes.
Tuesday night in Boston, Bruins forward David Backes was assessed a roughing penalty for this late, high hit on Red Wings forward Franz Nielsen, which knocked him from the game. As the video shows, the puck is dumped into the Red Wings zone as Backes pursues on the forecheck. The puck swings behind the net, and Backes remains in pursuit of the puck. The Red Wings rim the puck up the wall where Nielsen is waiting to make a play. He quickly chips the puck towards center, where it is intercepted by Bruin David Pastrnak. Well after the puck is gone, Backes delivers a late, high hit that makes substantial head contact with the head of Nielsen. This is interference. Players who are not in possession of the puck are never eligible to be checked. However, the interference rule provides a brief window during which a player who initiates a hit while his opponent is in possession of the puck may legally finish a check. This is not such a case. Backes does not initiate this hit until after the puck is gone, and contact is made outside the allowable window for finishing a check. In fact, at the moment contact is made, Pastrnak has already gained possession for the Bruins and made his next move with the puck. In addition to the lateness of the check, what elevates this hit to merit supplemental discipline is the significant head contact that occurs and the force with which it is delivered. While we acknowledge Backes' attempt to contort his body in a way that might minimize the force of the hit, what results is a hit with substantial and forceful contact to Nielsen's head. To summarize, this is interference. Nielsen suffered an injury on the play. Backes has been neither fined nor suspended previously in his 848-game NHL career. The Department of Player Safety has suspended David Backes for 3 games.
It's too much for a first offense.
So the penalty does feel a little bit heavy, but as soon as I saw the hit, I thought he's going to get suspended.
Wait, Marchand, who's been rung up 7 or 8 times, just got 3 games. Or what was it, 5?
He got 5.
Okay, but so this should be a game. I mean, again, if this were Marchand, I'd say throw the book at him because he can't help himself. Or Matt Cook or one of these guys, Rafi Torres or whatever. Backes has never done anything like this.
So I didn't realize he'd never been suspended again. I told you I didn't get to that end of it.
And he plays a hard-ass game,
man. He does, totally. The fact that he's played that many games, and they said at 844 or whatever, he's closing in on 1,000 games in his career, and he's never been suspended or fined.
That's too much.
Either one. So to me, if I were Backes, I'd appeal and see if he can get a knockdown of 2.
All right, so either way, that happened. And those videos are great. They do a really good job with those. Back to your phones, mostly on the Patriots. Here's Richard in New Hampshire. You want Richard Sherman, Richard?
Yeah, that's correct. I'm wondering if he's going to end up being a guy like Randy Moss who comes in at the back end of his career and does really well, or if he ends up being a bust kind of like, you know, Darrell Revis was.
So here's the lesson. What, Revis was a bust?
I didn't think he was too good for us.
What? You won the Super Bowl. He was outstanding. And he wasn't out. You know, he got off to a little bit of a slow start. I remember that. But, no, he was the balls in 2014. What, are you nuts?
No, and he was a game changer, too. Again, look, go back to the Malcolm Butler pick in the Super Bowl. I think it was Baldwin that was lined up to the left. Russell Wilson never looked there because Revis
okay.
was there.
So, look, here, when you go out and you sign these dinkuses, and I don't know if Sherman qualifies, so I'm going to put him to the side. But when you sign a dinkus, Randy Moss, Darrell Revis, Corey Dillon, 1 year, one and done. Wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. Don't give him a new contract. Don't give him any money. Don't give him any leverage. You leverage him. They need to come in for 1 year, rehabilitate their career, then they go somewhere else. That's how it works with those guys. That's always the best. You ran into trouble with Moss when you gave him the second contract. You ran into problems with Dillon when you gave him the second contract. You didn't make the same mistake with Revis. We all wanted you to. I wanted you to re-sign Revis. But you never gave Revis the chance to become the complete bum he became when he signed that next contract in New York. So, I don't put Sherman Quentin in that same category, though. Or should I?
No, I wouldn't. I'll tell you why. Has he ever had a compete issue?
Not really.
So, now the mouthiness, they're not going to like. They're not going to like that. And so that alone will piss them off. Like, if he gets more outspoken, and if he tries to pull in Foxborough what he pulled in Seattle, questioning the coaches 2 years after the Super Bowl.
Oh, God, please.
Bill will lose his mind, assuming he's still here. But to me, there's no compete issue with this guy.
So, look, I don't put Sherman in those guys' category. I still think he's a guy that you won and done. I still think he's a guy that you, I mean, I don't commit long-term to him. So here's a chance for you to come win a ring, reestablish your bona fides as a top five corner in the league, and then go get your money. And that's what I would do.
See, he's not in a spot, though, where he can get a big dough, I don't think, because of that Achilles injury.
Well, what if it's fine?
I know, but again, he has to prove that.
Yes, right? Come here and prove that you're healthy and still the same player and then go make your money.
So, but this is what I'm saying. Right now, even if he hits the market, I don't think there's going to be a team out there to give him a lot of dough.
Agreed.
So you can get him on a short deal.
Come here. Come here, prove yourself, and then go go screw somebody else over, and we'll move on to the next guy. Like, I mean, that's where I think they should be.
Sure, put him on the same roster as Tom Brady. If you tell me he wouldn't love that with his chance to go to the Super Bowl?
Oh, I love it. You mad, bro? You get to do that whole thing? Like, the whole thing is just would be tremendous. Michael in Medford. Hi, Mike.
Hi. Do you think Brady's in touch with Gronk during this situation?
I don't know. I guess I would assume so.
Because if Brady has Kraft's ear, maybe he can act as a diplomat to get it up to Maz's schedule to Monday. Otherwise, because the bottom line is he didn't sign up being Brady to be a middle of the pack team. So I'm thinking it's very important, and if he's got some influence, go for it.
Well, this is true. Maz has set a Monday deadline for Gronkowski to commit, or he's what? What?
Oh, we're moving on without you. See you later.
So what does that mean?
I'm just making our roster without you.
You're going to release him? Or are you going to put him on like a non-football injury list or something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, good luck.
Reserve suspended list, reserve did not report list, reserve something like that.
Yeah, he can't play anywhere else. So I would just
so
say...
So if Gronkowski does not commit to you by Monday, you're shutting him down and shutting him out.
I'm building my roster without him. And then if he wants to come back at some point, we'll figure it out. But he would also lose his chance to renegotiate. You want to renegotiate, Gronk? We'll talk. Fine, I told you, to me this is the caveat the Patriots have to... You got to give him something. So we'll talk to you. But we need to know, are you playing? Are you? Because if you're going to retire, please retire by Monday. Retire by Monday, I have a life to live.
Yeah, that's what
I would say.
That would be so hollow. Bill would maybe want to do that, but the Crafts, even if they would want to, they can't because they've now gone all in on Brady.
So
they need him.
You can't let the player hold you hostage.
Well, he has a legitimate out. He could go to the WWE and actually have a legitimate career. Not many players throughout the league could do it because most of them could look at the players and be like, what are you going to do without us? You can't go anywhere.
Great, then go. See you later. Retire. Again, now I'm just
leaving Brady in the lurch. You can't do it. You can't.
I'm just saying
Gronkowski has the leverage here.
I'm just saying from a pure business standpoint, they can't let him have the leverage.
The problem is, Maz, I understand your frustration and it's annoying with the game that Gronkowski's playing. I'm sort of rooting for him, you know? Like I root for any player who takes on that league or those owners. And the players are just such behind the eight ball in that league that whenever a guy has a chance to really stick it to the man, I sort of root for the player.
So I generally feel that way, too. I've said to you a million, I hate the franchise tag. I can't stand that because it's un-American, for crying out loud. It is. You know, oh, you're a great player? You can't leave now. That's the worst rule ever, if you ask me. But that aside, I just think if you're the Patriots and you're running it, a piece that big, what are you going to let them do? Hold you hostage all off season? You can't do it that way. I want an answer, Gronk. What's it going to be?
Jay in Connecticut, what do you think of the Backus suspension?
I don't like it. I don't understand him. I mean, yeah, I understand he hit him late, but if he got suspended for that, how come the guy that hit Charlie McAvoy the other night didn't get suspended?
So I'm glad Hornquist wasn't suspended. I thought McAvoy put his head down, and I want that hit in the game. If they take that hit out, where the player ducks his head and the other player doesn't target the head, doesn't launch, doesn't leave his feet, doesn't elevate, just hits him, then you're going to have no hitting. I'm glad they didn't suspend Hornquist.
But I asked myself the same question.
But this thing shouldn't have been three games for a first time. If this were Marchand, I'm telling you, suspend him a week, five games, throw the book at him because he can't control himself. He's got a track record. That blew me away. Backus has played over 800 games. He's never been, did he say fined or suspended?
Right, neither.
Yeah.
He's never even been fined.
No, it's excessive. But if you look at it in slow-mo, it looks vicious because it's shoulder, chin, then the player's injured. You know?
He went high. That's the difference with Hornquist. Hornquist did not go high. Hornquist was aiming for the chest.
Yeah, I know.
And McAvoy was kind of crouched over and had his head down there. In this case, Backus didn't like jump the way Marchian did when he got his, but he wasn't going chest. I mean, he clipped the guy's head with his shoulder. And in this case, Nielsen was standing straight up. McAvoy was hunched over. It was the first question I asked myself this morning when I was reviewing the hit. Like, I watched it again. I watched it a bunch of times this morning. And I went, how is this different than McAvoy? And the difference is that McAvoy was hunched over. I think he deserved a suspension. Three games feels strong.
Oh, man. I'm surprised.
Because, again, I didn't know till we heard the video either that he didn't have a history at all. Not even a fine. But he deserves something for that, especially when the guy get knocked out of the game.
Yeah, and
you know it's coming then.
I'm glad the league does that, too. They do factor in how badly the guy gets hurt. And I know it should be more about intent than the actual result. I don't know. I sort of go to the result.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Felger. I like anti-coupon and Mass. Stupid. They're so stupid.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Let's send you down to the field and Aaron Edwards.
Joe, thank you so much. Richard, let me ask you the final play. Take me through it.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get. Don't you ever talk about me.
Who was talking about you?
Crabtree, don't you open your mouth about the best. Or I'm going to shut it for you real quick. L.O.B.
All right, before... And Joe, back over to you.
You want that, Murray?
Oh, I do so much. I want the talent more than anything else, but all that added stuff, oh, man, he'd be great. Same with Michael Bennett. I would have liked him, too, just for the talent. I mean, he had like 9 sacks. He could use some help on that defensive line. But all the other stuff that comes with the guys that love Howie Carr, you know, your ketchup suck Kurt Schillings of the world that like hate these guys because they're too outspoken. Oh, please bring me all of those players just for the sheer comedy.
The Bennett's for some reason bug me, but Sherman never did. Because maybe it's just that position. You've got to be, you know, you just got to be. You
cocky.
Bring it, man. Yeah.
Brash.
And all the good ones are. Well, anyway, Richard Sherman today cleaned out his locker in Seattle. And according to reports, he's done there. In fact, his mother tweeted out, "We're going to miss you in Seattle." And his teammates have been tweeting out, "We're going to miss you." And so Sherman's done in Seattle. And as Jeff Howe reported last year, you inquired after Richard Sherman. The Patriots called on Sherman. And Sherman has always wanted to play here. Has always sought to, and has always coveted playing for Bill Belichick and playing in New England. So there's a match there. Could he be headed to New England? And how would you feel about it?
Oh, my God, I would love it. How would you like those corners? 6'3", Sherman, 6'1", Gilmore. Is that how big he is? Like, two physical, tough, like, lot to like there.
Jeff Howe writes, the Patriots did call the Seahawks about Sherman last offseason, but the trade interest was brief. Sherman was receptive to the idea of joining the Patriots then and still is now if the Seahawks go in another direction, according to a source. And looks like the Seahawks are going in a different direction all over the place. They traded Michael Bennett today, and, you know, Earl Thomas is involved in trade rumors. It feels like they're hitting the reset button there in Seattle.
So how about this? This just got tweeted. Ian Rappaport apparently is doing a hit on Seattle radio somewhere, and he just said on this station, the Patriots offered a third-round pick for Michael Bennett and a fifth-round pick, and he chose to go with Philadelphia.
Bennett chose.
Michael Bennett, yeah.
Wow. I'm just digesting. That's more than the Eagles offered.
Yeah. The Eagles offered a fifth and some bum wide receiver.
Right.
The Patriots offered a third and a fifth.
A third and a fifth.
And but I don't see why. See, the player doesn't get the choice. The team.
No, the team chose to go with Philadelphia.
Why did the team choose to go with Philadelphia?
Still mad about Super Bowl 49, maybe?
I don't know. I mean, maybe they gave him a say in it.
Well, and so that's stupid.
Well, it's dumb on behalf of the team, sure.
Well,
yeah.
Do what's best for the team.
Well, right.
Take the better offer. Again, we're back with the Garoppolo thing. You're trying to take care of the player? What? Take the higher pick. Take the better offer. What are you doing?
I wonder. I want to find out more about that.
Okay, so, but that's big news. If the Patriots were willing to take on that contract, that's where I begin and end. Because that's usually where it begins and ends down there, you know? Start with the finances. If they were willing to take on that contract, well, you said $9 million this year for Michael Bennett?
Yeah, it's between 8 and 10 for the next 3 years.
Okay, well, I mean, that certainly helps your defensive line and your pass rush and all sorts of other things. It certainly gives you some impact there on defense. If you're willing to take on that contract, again, what does that mean for Brandon Cooks? What does that mean for Nate Solder? What does that, you know, there's other dominoes to fall there. So if you were talking to Seattle about Michael Bennett, you can easily be talking to him about Richard Sherman.
I was actually high. The cap hits starting this year are 6, 6, 7, and 8, 5.
Oh. If that's real, that is, you're right. Like, that is straight up negligent. If they didn't take a third and a fifth and decided to just take a fifth rounder and some wide receiver that's probably not even going to play. Well, so it's one of two things. The player didn't, they asked the player and they wanted to do him right and he didn't want to come here. Or they're legitimately still like butthurt about what happened a few years ago in the Super Bowl.
But they've done deals. Didn't we get the atrocious Cassius Marsh from Seattle?
Yes, that's true. Yeah. Well, that was an overpay. They were dumb enough to give two picks for that bum.
I wonder if
they gave up two picks for that.
They did. It was like a fifth and a seventh.
I don't care what it is. You gave up anything for that?
Yeah.
I wonder if Martellus Bennett's related in this somehow. Like, I don't know. Maybe he said,
I'm getting cut. Screw it. Don't come here.
Yeah, you want me to come? Fine, but you got to keep my brother? I mean, I'm throwing crap against the wall. I don't know. I'm asking. Like, if you're Michael Bennett, why wouldn't you want to play here? Your brother seemed to have a good experience here, didn't he?
Wow, the Pats are willing to take on Michael Bennett. That would have been interesting as hell, too. And again, while the Bennett's kind of bugged me, still, that's, you know, that's good for you on the field. There's good stuff off the field there with that guy. Like, that would have been good.
There's more to that. There's something we're not being told. Like, the Patriots offered that, but they wanted Bennett to redo the contract.
Yeah, something, right.
Something like that that we're not being told. There's a piece of information that's being left out, conveniently.
Okay, we continue. Back to your phones. Harry in Alston on Rob Gronkowski. Maz wants an answer. By Monday, or Maz is going to cut him. What do you think, Harry?
Gentlemen, thanks for taking a call. Maz, I just, I don't know how you say Gronk's taking over the Pats hostage. Isn't it Rosenhaus?
No, it's Gronk. Don't blame the agent.
The agent works for the player, Harry.
But the agent is the one that controls the player.
No. You get it backwards.
The team always wants you to blame the agent. Blame the player. The player's in charge.
But when has Rosenhaus broken precedent?
A lot. You know, I don't think you understand, Harry, that Rosenhaus has done a lot of deals with the Patriots. A lot of team-friendly deals with the Patriots. Bill likes Rosenhaus.
But still, I mean, where does he have to go other than the retirement?
He doesn't.
Only leverage.
That's it.
Murray's brought it up. Great point. But Maz is not given any credibility to that at all.
Harry, all I'm saying is this. If he wants to retire, I told you, I respect that. I do. I respect it. For a 29-year-old guy or whoever old he is to say, you know what, I've taken enough hits, I'm out. I don't want to play for anybody. That's it. No problem. All I'm saying is give us an answer. If you're thinking about retiring, give us an answer. If this is a contract play, then let's sit down and talk turkey. Let's talk contract. Let's sit down and figure it out. You want more money, we'll make something work. We did it last offseason, we'll do it now. But this idea of the only reason, again, this came up earlier in the show, is that by doing it this way, he kills the trade market. If he says, no, I'm not going to retire, but I want to talk again, and the team says, okay, yeah, no problem, wait, and then they trade his ass, Well, now you're Gronk, and you're playing somewhere you don't want to play because you've seen what Belichick has done to guys in terms of burying them in markets where they don't necessarily, they're not going to make any real contribution.
All right. We heard yesterday, I believe, from Bob in Easton, a really staunch Patriots homer, which usually means we hear from his brother, Adam in Brockton. They sort of come at it from different sides of the table. What's up, Adam?
Helga, I'm really concerned about my brother, Bobby. Tiger Woods was making more sense on that police dash camera than my brother was in his last two phone calls. Here are the facts. I'm younger than Bobby. I'm better looking than Bobby. And I'm not married with kids like my brother, so that makes me smarter than Bobby. And because I'm not married with kids, that means I can watch all the sports I want all the time, which means I can develop my own opinions on all sports. So with John Dennis having nothing but free time to leave angry voicemail, Jerry Thornton lost somewhere in Dan Chionity's afro, and Michael Hawley leaving Fisher-Price Radio, I wondered, where is Bobby going to get his hot takes? Well, it may surprise and scare you. Earlier this week was the first time Bobby and I have spoke sports in months. I said something to the effect that the dynasty is finally over and that the ESPN article was dead on the whole time. And you know what his response was? Well, I'm not a huge Tom Curran fan, but when he writes a column, it's usually a formed opinion, and he writes a column to slant the way of what he knows what's going on down there. I said, wow, Bobby, that's a fantastic point. And I agreed with it last week when Felga said it. So Bobby Barnacle goes all nuts and denies he ever heard you say that. So this is just a warning for the upcoming Red Sox season and my brother's calls. Get ready to hear Red Light Kurt and the rest of Butch from the Cape's takes.
Very good. Those two.
Oh, no, the Heat Miser and the Snow Miser.
That's between the brothers, Kay.
Yeah, I think Adam is more the Snow Miser. He's a little cooler. Bob from Easton, he's definitely the Heat Miser. He's the hothead.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.
You're listening to Felger and Maz.
Doesn't always have to be ha-ha-hee-hee.
Love it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Full phones as usual. I don't want to leave these people hanging, so I'm just going to do a quick lightning round. I'm going to zip through these phones, okay?
Sure. Oh.
So everybody be quick. No pleasantries. Just give me the take.
30 seconds. Go.
Get off.
Oh, this will work.
Rick and Milford, go.
Hey, guys. I got to tell you one thing. Trading Brady is the craziest thing in the world. The last thing I ever want to see is that. We had Yaz. We had Bird. The worst thing that ever happened was trading Bork. We have icons. Those are the guys you need to keep. Thank you.
Okay, said Robert Kraft out in Foxborough.
Different era.
Call of the day.
Eric in Connecticut. Hi, Eric.
Yeah, I would stay away from the Sherman thing unless he's... I wouldn't trade for him unless he's getting released. Coming off that Achilles injury, that's a big injury, and they're definitely going to lose a step. And with the pass-happy offense that the NFL is, I don't like it. I don't like it at all.
So I would agree with the thing of you don't need to trade much. You can just pretty much wait for him to get released. It's really more of a money thing. Are you willing to clear the 9, 10, whatever he's going to get to have him for a year? That's really the equation, not what you're giving up. We've got Wayne and Grafton. Wayne, you got to be quick on the David Backus suspension.
Yeah, my mother used to hit me harder than his man wife because we don't have to worry about Montreal, but you might have to face the Capitals.
Okay, I'm just going to cut you off. My mother used to hit me harder than Backus hit that guy.
Yeah.
That's the call of the day.
I'm guessing the other half of that might have gotten dropped.
Yeah, I would think in that context.
Yep.
I don't even know what you guys are talking about.
Oh, no, I'll tell you later. Yeah.
I missed something. Here's Ken in Chelmsford. Hi, Ken.
Hey, how you doing? I was just ask Maz, once you give Gronk the ultimatum and he tells you to go pound sand, what's the next move?
Yeah, very good. Good question. Answer that.
Well, I told you. Then you don't negotiate with him.
And then you go sign another tight end?
You have to plan for that anyway, don't you? I mean, if you're at a stage right now where he's not telling you he's playing or not, don't you have to plan for it?
I'm not overspending on Jimmy Graham. I'm not overspending on these tight ends.
But my point is, regardless, you have to plan for it.
Yeah, my plan is to change my offense because you can't replace that. That guy comes along once every generation, and you're not going to replace it, so don't even try.
Okay, so but to change your offense, you're going to have to find players that work in your offense, right? My point is you're going to have to do something else. So you just say to Gronk, your chance to negotiate is now. You don't negotiate now, fine, no big deal. You're playing for your salary.
I think your deadline's figurative, not literal. It's, Gronk, quit playing games. Tell us what you're doing.
Yeah. Do you want to play football or not? If you do, we want you. If you don't, see you later.
James and Mashpee. Go, James.
Hey, I want to talk about Brandon Cooks real quick. I don't think they should have given up that first rounder for him. didn't really, I mean, he's not a number one receiver. The guy never even goes up and gets the ball. He waits for the ball to come down to him every single time.
Agreed.
Drops it half the time anyway.
Well,
thanks, guys.
That's a little strong. I think he got better late in the year, and I think there's a good chance he'll be better next year. But if you're not going to sign him long term and he's one and done, why not try and get something for him and clear space for something else that can improve your team? At corner, maybe it was Michael Bennett. Maybe this is why we're hearing about Brandon Cook's trade rumors. Because they need to clear the money for a guy like Bennett, for a guy like Sherman, for a guy like Tlaib, for whatever. In which case, I think you can justify it. Brian in Salem on Michael Bennett. Hi, Brian.
Hey, guys. Two issues on Bennett. One, I think the reason he didn't come here was because of the social injustices, and Philly has a strong team that backs that cause. And two, it's the Butler thing. He's got a strong personality. There was no way he was coming here after Bill sat Butler.
Okay, I just don't know why Michael Bennett got a say in it when it's a team's call where they trade him. But if he did have a say in it, so it's a Boston thing? It's like Boston and the Patriots don't support social justice?
No, I don't think that's it.
I mean,
if he had a say in it, it's because the Patriots wanted to redo the contract.
It's definitely not that, because his brother came back here happily, wanted to come back here. So if Marty Bennett, I'm sure Michael would call Marty and say, how was it? And I'm sure he said fine, because he came back and Marty Bennett still wants to come back. So I don't think that's it either. I agree.
No. To me, it's a contract thing. Again, if the Patriots are going to bring him in, he's got two more years with base salaries of 8-ish, somewhere around there, 8 or 9, something like that. The Patriots probably said, we'll give you this, but he's got to redo the deal. And he said, no.
Okay, folks, headline. This is from CBS News. CBS News reports, uncontrolled space station to crash into Earth in early April, experts say.
Mm-hmm.
Let me repeat. Uncontrolled space station to crash into Earth.
It's a renegade space station.
In early April, experts say. Now, this is as a backdrop. You've probably heard me talk about this before. I have a healthy respect / fear of asteroids. I think it is, frankly, the most undertold story in world history that the dinosaurs died not by all the things we were told as kids, which was even what? I don't even remember. They ran out of food?
The Ice Age, but that was caused because an asteroid, based on what you read, hit the Earth and then everything got frozen.
In Mexico.
Yeah.
They died from an asteroid. From an asteroid strike that changed the Earth's
atmosphere.
Well, climate.
The Chicxulub meteor.
The Chicxulub meteor at the Chicxulub meteor in Mexico. Correct. So we've gone over this. And I think that not enough people realize that an entire species, the entire planet, was shut down by a space rock. Which, you're not told this often enough, because the government knows that if people actually knew that at any moment we get hit by a rock from space and it'd be over, it'd be cats and dogs, mass chaos, living in the street, it would just be lawlessness.
If we knew that it was actually about to hit, yeah.
Yes. You know, if it could be so random as just a rock hitting us, then people would go nuts. Be like, I don't need to pay my bills, I don't need to, you know, what? I just, anything goes, man, right?
It's a big rock, though.
Okay, so I think ultimately we'll be done in by a space rock. And there's nothing we can do about it. And I also think that one of the biggest lies told to you is that somehow we're going to be able to figure it out or redirect it. That we're going to send Ben Affleck into space to shoot the asteroid out of the sky. That one, we can see him coming, and two, that we can redirect them. It's the biggest fallacy in modern science that they have you believing this. Because these people, these scientists, have no idea what's out there, where they are, or when they're coming.
It was Bruce Willis, first of all, and we've advanced beyond that. All we need is a laser.
And I've given you a million examples of you not knowing where these things are, when they're coming, or where they're coming.
Because
there was a meteor that struck Russia a couple of years ago, and all of a sudden the thing is shaking buildings and rattling walls, and things are exploding, and the scientists there in Russia go, huh, we didn't see that one.
And everyone survived.
And it happens all the time. Here's my latest example. Uncontrolled space station to crash into Earth in early April, experts say. Scientists have revealed new information about an out-of-control Chinese space station that has been falling back to Earth for several months.
Out of control.
A team from the European Space Agency, ESA, has narrowed, okay, keep that word in mind, narrowed the window for its impact, but still don't know where the 19,000-pound projectile will land. China's government reportedly lost control of the space lab, Tiangong 1. I'm just going to try that once. Tiangong 1 is the name of the space lab. The Chinese government reportedly lost control of that space lab.
Chinese for Voyager.
In June of 2016, and initially announced that the station would crash back to Earth in late 2017.
Right.
The prediction was later revised to March 2018.
It got delayed.
After other international space agencies realized China had, quote unquote, lost contact with the lab, and began tracking its course. So again, just start there.
It's a renegade lab.
This is, shut up. This is not a meteor from outer space. This is not something coming from light years away. This is something we put up there.
Yeah.
That's in near Earth orbit, not outer space.
Yeah, I frankly like hearing this because...
Listen, and they say, oh, it's coming down in late 2017.
Good.
Oh, no, whoops. Actually, March of 2018. Now it's early April. We have no idea. How are we supposed to predict what a space rock from another galaxy is going to do? Never mind our own man-made satellites in near-Earth orbit.
This is what we get as payback. I hate NASA and space travel in general. So
shut
this,
up, Murray.
This nothing epitomizes the arrogance of mankind than, oh, space travel. Let's try to inhabit other planets. Good. I'm glad this is happening.
So you said 19,000 pounds?
19,000 pounds.
So it's like the size of a construction vehicle. Keep going. Can we aim it towards Connecticut?
The ESA has now released a new window for Tiangong-1's eventual crash landing. Okay, so they've now released a new window. Listen to this window. Scientists believe the station will hit Earth between March 29 and, you care to dot what the care to guess what the window is?
June.
April 9th, 12 days.
Well, that's a good gap.
That's a massive gap, and we're going to know exactly when the asteroid's coming and be able to redirect it.
The world's mostly ocean. I'm not sweating it.
Me Can't either. You put a top over it?
Murray, 12, you put the thing up there. It's not coming from outer space. It's coming from near Earth orbit. And you can't tell within 12 days when it's going to hit?
First of all, I didn't do anything. This was the Chinese government that did this.
Do you know how clueless we are as humans when it comes to these things?
Yes.
The space agency admitted, however, they won't be able to pin down an exact date because of the space lab's out-of-control route.
It's renegade.
Quote, at no time will a precise time/location prediction from ESA be possible. The ESA wrote in their blog. So they...
Is that Chinese NASA?
No, that's the International Space Agency.
The European Space Agency. I gave that to you.
They're all equally useless.
Same thing. International. Europe is international.
They can't narrow down a 12-day window when the thing's going to hit.
No, the better part is the where it might hit on the Earth.
Listen to this.
This gets good.
Scientists also haven't been able to narrow down the crash zone, which is expected to be, this is hysterical, which is expected to be between the 43rd North and the 43rd South latitudes. Murray, do you have any conception of what that is? Because I didn't. I had to look it up.
No idea.
No, the way they say it, though, makes it sound like it's the boundary between North and South Korea.
Can I give you the boundary?
Yeah, no, I know. Go ahead.
It's basically from Buffalo to Cape Town, South Africa.
All around the globe.
All around the globe!
A big band around the middle of the globe.
All around the globe.
Touches all seven continents.
It could hit Los Angeles, New York, Miami, Boston, Rio de Janeiro, Cape Town, Sydney, Australia, Bangkok, Mumbai, Beijing, Tokyo, Rome. It could hit any of those. They have no clue. It could hit anywhere on the planet, basically.
Yeah, except the North and South Pole. If you're there, you're good.
Anywhere on the planet in a 12-day window.
Yeah.
Like, how clueless are we? We have no clue about this stuff. And you put it up there.
So you realize this has happened before, right?
Shut up.
It's called Skylab.
That massive section of the planet includes parts of every inhabited continent on the Earth, as Maz just said. Even a couple of days before it re-enters, we probably won't know better than 6 or 7 hours, plus or minus, no crap, when it's going to come down. Even a couple of days before it re-enters, we won't know better than 6 or 7 hours, according to Harvard astrophysicist Jonathan McDowell. So what good is this Jonathan McDowell schmuck with his Harvard astrophysicist degree if he can't tell? It's just a satellite. This isn't even the heavy stuff from outer space. It's just a satellite.
No, it's a space station.
Space station, sorry. A space station.
Google Skylab and tell me what you find out.
Despite not knowing when and where the space station will crash in early April, scientists continue to claim the odds of Tiangong-1 will hit you or your home are extremely slim.
Mm-hmm.
Quote, the only known case of space debris striking a person is Miss Lloydie Williams of Tulsa, Oklahoma, who was struck by a small piece of space debris in 1996, but was not harmed in any significant way, according to Aerospace. Oh, so that's great. So we never have to worry about anything coming out of the sky, because it was only Lloydie Williams there in Tulsa in 96.
Pretty much.
That's so asinine, it's not even funny.
Skylab. Google Skylab.
I remember Skylab when I was a kid, yeah.
Late 70s.
Yeah, I remember.
Yep, landed in Australia.
Okay, so what if it doesn't?
No person was hurt. Couple of kangaroos, maybe a koala and a wombat,
because
but that's about it.
Because it landed in the outback. What if it landed in Sydney?
Well, that would turn out this story would not be clickbait. if it actually lands somewhere. But this is nonsense. You get this crazed over something like this? Are you kidding me?
The Earth is 70.
No, I'm not crazy. I'm trying to sell the point that these fantasies that we have, that we'll be able to see the rock coming. We know its exact trajectory. We know when it's going to hit. Like, I read all these books. I read some science fiction books. I read like orbital mechanics, like all this stuff. Like, we think we know.
Asimov.
We think we know when it's going to hit, where it's going to hit, to the exact trajectory and the exact coordinates, and we'll be able to redirect. And you know, we have no effing clue and no ability to affect any of these things. So if the Chicxulub meteor is coming, it's coming, and you're cooked.
Yeah, no, I know that.
That's all.
I understand the unpredictability of life. And with this, again, I hate all things sending into space. This is what if it landed on me and us.
You're against spending things into space?
Oh, I hate it. It epitomizes to me the arrogance of mankind. We have this planet. Let's fix this planet.
Oh, no.
Let's fix the potholes, the bridges, and everything else.
No, this planet's trash.
Oh, that's right. We've sucked it dry. Let's find another one.
We have. Let's get the hell out of here.
Is my satellite radio still going to work? That's all I want.
I doubt it. That's the whole point.
Okay, look, I'm telling you. First of all, the Earth is 70% water. Okay. Secondly, as it gets closer,
so there's a 30% chance we get walloped. Boston's right in the flight path. Boston's in that 43 to 43 zone. There, I mean, as is everywhere else.
Mike, the whole world is in that band.
Yes, it is.
The whole world is in that band. So again, what I would tell you is that the Earth is 70% water, and as it gets closer, I suspect we'll be able to redirect it. And I got a few places we should redirect it towards if they really want my opinion.
Okay, final word comes your way next.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Blood force trauma running right down their throat.
Felger.
I'm a hypocrite.
Mass.
Who cares?
Felger and Mass. 98.5 The Sports Hub. Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And the final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Looking for the best deal on tires. Only one place to go. Town Fair Tire.
Nobody.
Best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. No.
I'll tell you this, Diana Rossini.
Right. Oh, yeah. No.
On fire.
She is.
She had more info?
Literally and figuratively.
She gets it, man.
She had this just minutes ago. I'm told there's been trade conversations going on between the Broncos and 49ers, Maz, for Aqib Talib. But doesn't look like it's going to get done. Told Talib prefers to be released by Denver so he can choose his next team. His top choice is?
New England.
The New England Patriots, per sources.
Bring me back to Talib. Talib or Sherman, I'm not going to get picky. Give me one of those guys.
I'm going to beat his ass.
Well, as much as we would enjoy Talib here, Maz is done with Gronk, apparently. We found this out today.
Mm-hmm.
Gronk has to be back like within hours, or he's done. He's done. He's made the ultimatum.
He's asked about it, and he says, well, geez, you know, I don't know where you heard that, but you know damn well where he heard it.
You.
Exactly. Or your agent, your camp. Because the whole thing was contrived. That's what it was. You wanted the whole football world to know the night of the Super Bowl after the game that you were contemplating retirement because you were already on to the next contract. That's what it was. And so I would say this. If you want to retire, retire. Retire. I got all the respect in the world for you if you walk and do that. If you're using it for some sort of contract play, oh, good God, already make a decision. Shut up. I'm tired of hearing about the retirement. If you're going to retire, retire. And don't tell me you need more time to think about it. Because if you were dissatisfied or unhappy in training camp of last year, then you've had months to think about it. You know whether you want to retire or not. Stop playing this stupid game. If it's about your contract, get on the phone with the team and figure it out. And then either retire or not. Because the league year starts in a week. And I look at that and say, you know, decisions have to be made, and he is a hard guy to sort of plan around. So don't hold your team hostage. Don't screw your teammates. Don't screw Brady and everybody else because, you can't decide whether or not you want to retire.
It's a Maz ultimatum.
No, listen, I just think if you're running the team, that's the approach you're going to have. What are you going to do? Let Gronk decide whether you're going to go after players or not?
Monday's your deadline.
I would. I would set some sort of deadline. If you're going to retire, retire by Monday. Otherwise, we're moving on without you.
You're out.
No, did someone say Carlton and Norwell? Ooh, speak of the devil and he shall appear.
Hi, Carlton in Tampa. What do you got for us today?
Bill Belichick is a dead man walking, and you guys haven't figured it out yet. His whole team revolted against him when they tried to smear Malcolm Butler with being, you know, late for curfew, poor practices, altercations with coaches, weed use, everything else, all the other pieces of crap that came out of Foxborough on that Monday and Tuesday after the Super Bowl. And all the Patriots players decided to chime in and support Malcolm Butler on social media. And Kraft effectively fired Belichick, which is why McDaniels did the 180-degree turn. It's why they don't have a new defensive coordinator. Guess who's going to be able to name him? McDaniels is. That's the whole shooting match, guys, and you don't see it yet. Maybe Bill next year can go back to the Cleveland Browns and see if he can get his 8 games under .500 losing record with the Browns turned around somehow, because Jackson will get fired if he can't turn that ship around this year.
There's Carlton still riding the high from the Eagles winning the Super Bowl.
It's been a little while.
You can't see the forest from the trees. He's a dead man walking like a zombie. Zombie. Zombie with their tanks and their bombs and their guns.
Well, I'm referencing the Cranberries, but
I never knew they said zombie.
It's the name of the song, Mike. Jesus, really? It's literally the name of the song.
I've never even heard it.
I never paid attention to the name of the song.
I know she's got quite the Irish brogue, that Dolores O'Riordan, whatever the hell her name is. But
Zombie, huh?
Yeah, zombie.
I never paid attention to that.
Huh. Felger and Maz.